All right, so this is the intro before the actual intro. And I just wanted to say that during this podcast, you will notice it started off with good quality. And then you will notice that the quality of my voice tanked. And the reason is because I don't know, I moved something around and it started recording from my computer instead of my mic. And it's not how I wanted it. But I also was channeling something that, it's like in the moment I felt like it was really fucking good. So the lesson here is, instead of being a perfectionist, when you put something out good, just know it's about the value. And smoothing things out and having a clear voice and all that good stuff is nice. But as long as people can receive your value, it's worth it. Don't beat yourself up trying to be perfect. I did a rhyme scheme there. But anyway, enjoy the show. Another thing about this episode is there was malfunctions with me playing the videos of some of the examples I was showing. So I cut it up a bit, and you may not hear the you're not going to hear the videos that I was playing because for whatever reason it wasn't recording. But you'll get the gist of it. Basically, I was playing a video of some guy who wanted to replace a halftime show with a fucking marching band and was calling the rappers Dre and 50 and all those people socialists or something like that. And he was just going off wanting marching bands and calling them socialists and criminals and all that stuff. You can only guess. And I read out some of his tweets too. So it was interesting stuff. And this is a very fun and valuable podcast. Also, this episode is sponsored by my new program called Fuck Cancel Culture. It's self-explanatory. If you've been dealing with cancel culture and criticism and you showing up online and your messaging, this is for you to help you show up boldly and give the middle finger to cancel culture. You can find the link in the show notes or directly on the link in my Instagram. Or you can just message me if you can't find it any other way. Anyway, stay tuned for the show. I hope you fucking love it. And if you do love it, give me a 5-star review on iTunes and share it with your friends. All right, let's go. What's up? Welcome to the podcast. Today is Valentine's Day. Have you gotten your loved one a Valentine's Day card? If you haven't, then what the hell are you doing? Okay, so anyway, today's Valentine's Day is 2022. Obviously, if you're listening to this like as soon as it comes out, that's obvious to you. Oh, here comes Katie in the room. Katie, I don't want any shenanigans, all right? I don't want any shenanigans. I'm trying to record a podcast. It's nighttime today on February 14th. Decided to jump on and do this podcast. And yesterday was a Super Bowl, so there's so much to talk about there. But I also wanted to, I also been wanting to talk about things about the swindler coaches and the archetype of the anti-coach marketing and things of that nature. So I plan on touching on all of that today, but I also sort of like just go with the flow with this podcast and I go on rants and all that stuff, and that's what makes the podcast great. So I'm planning to address all the topics, but also there's a lot to talk about, and it could be split up into different episodes, but you will know what happens by the time it comes out because it's going to be in the title and the description. You'll know what's going on. So anyway, the Super Bowl, man. For one thing, there's reasons why I watch the Super Bowl, right? Usually. Well, first and foremost, I enjoy the game of football, believe it or not. And yeah, I just enjoy the game. And that's what I hate. I hate going to the Super Bowl when there's a non-person, a non-football fan. They're just there for the halftime show. And then they just like talk over the important parts where you're trying to see what's happening with the plays. Sorry, I'd rather just be in isolation watching the Super Bowl if that's going to be what it is. I'd rather be in isolation and just read the X's and O's. All right, I do not. Oh, I got these pop-ups coming up. Okay, so Let's see if I'm still recording. Still recording. I want to see the X's and O's, the strategy. But anyway, there's always that meme that's like, I hear the Super Bowl is going to be at the Britney Spears concert. And it's just like, no, I came to watch the fucking game. But today or yesterday was a different aspect. It was a different situation for me. And perhaps the football game for me was happening during a Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Mary J. Blige, special guest 50 Cent, and Kendrick Lamar and Eminem concert. That was an incredible performance. But I also try to look for any type of symbolism, especially in the halftime show and in the commercials as well, and rituals and things of that nature. I gotta say that the vibe I felt watching the halftime show, it actually felt like a good vibe. And I'm really good at picking up vibes, but I'm also limited as a human being. And also I have bias because I grew up with the music. Like, that was a dream performance for me I never knew that was fathomable. I didn't know it would be possible to see those artists up there. And just the longevity and the success between all of them is just incredible. Eminem being the best-selling hip-hop artist, Dr. Dre being like a top-level producer. I think he became a billionaire not too long ago. I guess he did get divorced, though, so I don't know if he's still a billionaire. 50 Cent broke records and did something incredible when he released his first album, Get Rich or Die Trying. Just incredible stuff. And then, you know, Snoop Dogg, he's been evolving and still staying relevant to this day from starting out in the 90s. Mary J. Blige, like, I just got to say, like, her music helped me during my first major breakup in my life. So, you know, like, I'm not, like, I guess I haven't been a hardcore Mary J. fan, but I got nothing but respect, and, you know, her music has been pivotal in my life. And Kendrick, like, I remember, like, Kendrick's just, like, was the new era of, like, the best artist, right? Best hip-hop artist. I first heard him in 2011 with his album Section 80, and I think he was just becoming hot at that time. He might have not hit his peak of popularity yet, so it almost feels like I kind of discovered him in a way, even though he was creating a buzz. And something that I just remember with Kendrick, it's like he's the same age as me, so I really relate to a lot of the stuff he says and all that good stuff. And, you know, the messaging behind his music, he talks on some like real topics, and there's some things I want to mention about that later as I rant about this show. So, incredible show. I got a good vibe with it. I'm willing to look to, you know, see if there was any symbolism during the show that people can find out and all that good stuff. I will say it wasn't as blatant as last year with The Weeknd with a fucking demon coming out of the sky. Like, it just felt chill and authentic in West Coast vibes, but people might have some stuff to say. I am not a symbolism expert and I'm not a conspiracy expert, but I like looking into the stuff and all that good stuff and just being aware of what the message is being fed to us. But honestly, it was just like, from my point of view, it felt more authentic and it felt lighter on the system. Like, I just felt, I don't know, like last year, I just kind of felt weird about it. It just didn't feel like there was something off with the energy. But who knows? It might be my bias. Anyway, today is a unique day. Because instead of me usually dunking on the woke people, now it's
a few conservatives, like the conservative conservatives. I made a post yesterday saying that in 2020, I realized I was a conservative. And then during the Super Bowl halftime show yesterday, I realized I'm not a conservative's conservative. And it's just like crazy shit people are saying, man. Like, people are out of touch. But there's actually a kind of like a peaceful thing about a grounded way of peace around this for me is like kind of like realize that I'm centered in the midst of all this. Because obviously, in the past episodes of the Sorry I Offended You podcast, most recently, Joe Rogan has been named a lot simply because Joe Rogan has been in the news. And now this is maybe the fourth podcast of mentioning Joe Rogan. Maybe I'm just name dropping him to get on the Joe Rogan experience. But anyway, he's been under fire, right? And the very last the last episode before this one, I talked about and addressed about the outrage of him saying the N-word. And part of that is when you listen to Joe Rogan for 3 hours at a time or 4 hours at a time for a longevity of a time, but even if you just like watched a few full episodes, right? The criticism and the outrage starts to become more and more absurd. And that outrage was from the left. Now, I see a bit of outrage from, like, the Republicans, you know what I'm saying? Like, or, and some of it's age range, right? But now, you know, now it's a unique situation where it's like I get to witness call-out culture on the right. And there's, like, a piece to seeing, like, things kind of, you know, balance it out and all that stuff. But there's these crazy comments, and it's the same exact thing as my opinion on Joe Rogan. Like, if you were somebody who listened to Dr. Dre the Chronic, or, you know, you listened to Eminem's albums and you grew up and understood, you know, what he meant, you know, same with like Snoop Dogg and Kendrick. If you just like got into hip hop culture, you would have a different understanding and a different perception. But just like Joe Rogan, if you just see clips from these, you know, these whatever, like these fucking people just pulling up clips, like the media or whatever you're looking at that is going after rappers. Back in my day, it was fucking Bill O'Reilly going after rappers. If you just look at those clips and then you just point out like the worst lyrics and there's no context to those lyrics, or you don't understand, you know, their story, then it's going to be, you're not going to get the full picture. And then you're going to act ignorant, and then you're going to say ignorant shit. And not only ignorant shit, but things that will come off quite racist. And I know it's like I know a lot of times racism is weaponized and things like that. And I don't mean that lightly. And I don't mean to like just label anybody who, you know, doesn't feel hip hop as racist. Nothing like that. But like some of the comments like that go off, it's like you're not painting yourself in a good light. And the reason why I got some passion for this, well, not only because I'm a hip hop fan, but the reason why is because, like I said in 2020, you know, the joke about like, oh, wait, I must be a conservative. You know, like conservatives have stood against the mandates and for freedom and have like recognized individual freedom and liberty and freedom of self-expression, right? They seemed more and more like the counterculture based on where the authoritarian left wants to censor shit and cancel people and, you know, impose mandates and get rid of individual liberty and only do it for the collective. So when you have a segment, I saw this segment on, what is it, Newsweek? I think it's like one of those conservative things, and I saw it on Twitter, when you have a segment where you say all this ignorant, out of touch stuff about hip hop music and Dr. Dre, and you're like trying to assassinate their character, and then pulling up shit that they did in the early 90s when they were like in their early 20s. And then you go right into a segment about promoting Canadian truckers and the freedom and all that stuff. It's like, Jesus, that's a whole weaponized thing that the left uses, is like, if you were for the truckers or the truckers themselves are racist, like you're giving them a reason. Like, I mean, why should they not feel that way if they saw that same fucking clip? You know what I mean? It's just like, you know, I believe that we got to be aware of tribalism, and we always got to point out stupid shit. And I just want to point out stupid shit. I'm a scholar that points out dumb shit. I'm a comedian and I'm an artist. So my job is not to toe the line and obey any political affiliation. My job is to have a set of values and stick to those values no matter what the fuck, how the fuck the environment changes. So one day I might be pissing off somebody from the right. Another day I might be probably pissing off a lot of people from the left. But I got to stay true to me. So let's see these tweets out here, out on these Twitters. Let's see. All right, so we got some crazy stuff. Okay, this guy, Alan Cornett. He's a wild one. Is it Alan? Oh, wait, this isn't the guy. He just said one thing. Alan Cornett says, okay, that was a funny one. Sorry, Alan. That was Dr. Dre's most believable doctor we've seen on national TV in 2 years. So he wasn't the one. Who was that guy that was going the fuck off? I think I posted about it. Okay, so Defiant L's. And usually Defiant L's, that page is like pointing out like the L's as in loss from like hypocrites on the left. But they made a post about this guy, Nick Adams. And at 6 p.m. yesterday, he said, cancel culture has no place in a free society. And then at 8:24 p.m., he says, Dr. Dre is a criminal, in all caps. Criminal. He assaulted a police officer. He has no business being celebrated at a halftime show. So literally 2 hours and a half later, he's like contradicting himself. And, you know, that page is funny because it's like it always points out like people like basically being hypocrites by their tweets. But this is just extra funny because it's like 2 hours ago. So he's President Trump's favorite author, apparently. I don't know if he really is. Okay, he's got a video out there. Let's see what this video says. Let's get a raw footage of this video. What's it say?
Performance at the Super Bowl last night. I know there's been a lot of action. There's been a lot of traffic on Twitter.
What? All right, so he didn't literally give the finger. And here's the thing with the kneeling thing. For one thing, I'm not sure why he took the fucking knee. Because Dr. Dre was playing on the piano. See, this is where it pays to actually know what you're listening to, right? You know, to understand the music. This guy obviously doesn't understand the music. But Dr. Dre was playing the piano and the song I Ain't Mad At Ya from Tupac, right? Which is a classic song from Tupac. And right around that time, Eminem took a knee. Now, I don't know if it was kneeling as in a Kaepernick way, or it was kneeling in respect for Tupac, or it could have been both, you know? So it could have been both, but it's like, here's the thing with this. Even when Kaepernick was kneeling, well, he was first sitting down, and then he went to a veteran, and the veteran said, like, you know, it would actually be an act of respect if you kneeled during the national anthem. So Kaepernick started kneeling. So actually, kneeling was actually in a way of having respect for the flag. And as a veteran, I never really had an issue with that. Some of the stuff that comes out about Kaepernick, and like the people say, like they don't know exact, you know, they say that he got banned from the NFL and things of that nature. And I feel like they don't know the entire story, or they don't understand how the NFL works and things of that nature. But, you know, like, when it comes down to the fucking kneeling thing, it wasn't even during the national anthem. It was during his own song. Like, I felt like, look, you know me, you know this podcast. I would be annoyed if Eminem went on some extra woke shit. Despite me being a fan of him and growing up with his music. And, you know, there's times where he has said some things like, ah, I fucking disagree with that. That's kind of cringe. Eminem has some cringe lines as well. But that action, I just feel like it was very mild in any type of wokeness. And I wouldn't even call it like wokeness in a sense, because I can tell it's authentic to him. I can tell it wasn't a thing to pander. Like, it was just like something that was authentic to him and something that he wanted to do. And also, with the whole kneeling thing and things of that nature, you know, there is issues with police brutality. And that's where conservatives miss the line, where I feel like it's like extreme on both sides of this argument. And it's like, no, you don't have to be ultra woke, or, you know, I know a lot of people can be very insufferable in ways. But that doesn't mean there isn't an issue. So anyway, look, I'll get into my thoughts more about this after I play this video. Okay, song and lyrics with anti-police. You can go back into Dr. Dre's catalog and see anti-police, a lot of anti-police lyrics. But on stage, I think the only one line that could be considered anti-police is in Still Dre, where he says, still not loving police. So let's go on. Yes, I would love to listen to a fucking marching band during the halftime show. That would be a fucking hit. Let's replace all the artists with marching bands. And what, like, when was there marching bands? Was that, like, when did the halftime show start bringing artists? And was there marching? I don't know. I don't have this information. But I feel like it wasn't when I was alive when there were marching bands at the halftime show, if that. I don't know why there's a call to have marching band. Like, this is very, you're putting the bar way too low when it comes to edginess. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, you just want to, like, wipe all the flavor out of the music. And the ex-convict, thing, I know, like, Eminem's been in trouble with the law at some point. But, you know, they've all been in trouble early in their careers. And they've all been through shit, too. Like, Eminem recovered from drugs. And Mary J. Blige has been sober for a while as well. But I don't look at that as a negative thing. I think, like, hey, you've dealt with stuff in life and you've overcome it. Like, it's the same thing with this cancel culture shit. That is complained about that happens on the left. It's like, I thought the whole thing was, can we forgive people, right? Can we see people as human beings? And to see, you know, multimillionaires and billionaires and business owners and CEOs on that stage who turned their life around and came from the gutter, like came from places that didn't treat them too well. You know, Snoop and Dre from Compton, Eminem from Detroit, you know, being in the, you know, from trailer parks to like just bad situations of life. Kendrick Lamar being from Compton as well. Like they all came from the bottom. They are all self-made. So it's like how, like, yeah, some of them may have been through some, they have been through some shit. Like, you know, if you see the story of like Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre going through death row, you're going to be, it's like wild what they had to go through. And even Dre in his NWA days, it was wild what he had to go through. And that kind of brings me to the other point about the anti-police rhetoric. I feel like there's a fine line. There's a balance, right? There's a balance between being a complete bootlicker and being a lunatic that's like abolish all police and all cops are bastards and get rid of them all. And the thing is I have the experience of just variety in my life, I guess. And I feel like it would help people so much if they got out of their comfort zone and explored life. And I'm glad that I got that experience, whether it was intentionally or unintentionally. I just feel like in my youth, I or my young adult age, I looked for different experiences and I put myself in environments where I met different people. So, like, in my early 20s, there was a part of my life where I would be doing open mics and I was all into hip hop and I produced beats in my basement and songs as well. And I was all, you know, I was all in the music. Like that was my foundation to art. That's what helped me own my craft. That's what helps me be a writer today. And I'm still not opposed to like maybe getting on the mic again and doing some music again or making beats, but it just, you know, it hasn't pulled to me. I feel fulfilled with how I express myself online and writing and doing, you know, like I got so much going on here. So I don't know. But the thing is there was, you know, a lot of environments in Baltimore. There was a lot of times where I was the only white guy, right? And it's like when you actually live in different, if you actually experience different environments, you start to understand. And I would even say hip hop culture, because I've been, you know, I'm into comedy and hip hop, and like that kind of formed my way of writing and creativity and things of that nature. But just like comedy, the fact that comedy is a sign of a thriving free society because comedians push the envelope, they push the edge, right? They're fully self-expressed and they challenge the narrative and things of that nature. Well, I would also say the same for hip-hop culture in its purest form. Not only is hip-hop culture amazing in pushing the envelope, but it also brought races together, especially when Eminem came on the scene. It brought, you know, it just brought so many people together. And you know, I'm grateful for that growing up, like just being into hip hop music and being in love with authenticity. And just like, I just feel like, you know, hip hop is a, you know, it's black culture, but it's also within hip hop. It's like when you're in hip hop and when you're on the hip hop scene, like it's like skin color doesn't matter, you know, on the underground scene, like skin color, whatever, like can you rap? Do you have punchlines? You know, like that's what matters. And if you got skill, you're going to be embraced. And that's the beauty of hip hop. You know, there's so much soul in it. And it unifies people and it pushes the envelope for self-expression. And these are artists that in history, they changed the culture. They changed the culture by pushing the envelope to the limit. You know, starting with Dre with NWA, and then Dre and Snoop in the Death Row days. And then you had Eminem come in 99, pushing the envelope in his own way. So, like, this is freedom expression at its purest form. Now, I will say, as they got older, maybe they played it more safe. There are times where I've wanted Eminem to be a little more risky in his music. I would say, like, artists like Chris Webby and Tom McDonald kind of remind me, like I kind of listen to them and I think, like, Eminem should definitely be talking about this shit, and he would if it was, like, back in 2000 and the shit was going on in the world in 2000. So I understand a little criticism about this. It's just like the mainstream, they got some mainstream going on, but those are artists who all were fucking rebels and all took chances with their music. They all took chances. Like, it's none of that bubblegum bullshit, none of that safe radio shit. They all took chances and they all, like, made the culture better and impacted culture and impacted how other people did things. And to just be like, no, we need to replace them with a marching band. Are you serious? One last thing before I keep playing this Joker's video. Another thing is, like, at least watch that. Is it? Yes. Yeah, Straight Outta Compton. Is that the movie? The NWA movie? At least watch Straight Outta Compton. At least, so you get it. And the thing is, it's like, I want there to be a balance. Yes, Straight Outta Compton came out in 2015. The album that he dropped with it was awesome as well, by Dr. Dre. And I think it was Ice Cube's son in the movie. But, like, the thing is, when you know what they've been through and what it took for them to come up and the abusive interactions that they had with the police, then you would understand why those songs came out. Why NWA put out Fuck the Police. Like, the police were literally trying to stop them from performing. And they literally would break in the studio and throw them to the fucking ground. And, you know, that's some real police brutality on some of the highest level. Like, and then you had their manager, Jerry, which, you know, like, tried to step in for them. And I haven't seen the movie in a while, but I think, like, Jerry stepped in and got the cops to lay off them or something because Jerry was a white guy. But it's like, when you see that, then you start to understand. And I'm against the extremes. Like, there's a respect that I have for police officers and you know, how they keep things in, you know, keep things in order and things of that nature. But I'm also not ignorant to the fact that there are situations like we saw in Straight Out of Compton. And then when you have that understanding of what was going on in that time, instead of reading some fucking headline, then you're not going to just join one side and say, oh, they're just police-hating criminals. Like, then you start to understand what was going on. So anyway, another part of my life in my 20s is that I was in the military. So, you know, I grew up with people who wanted to be police officers, people who became police officers that were my friends, police officers that hated me. And, like, I, you know, even though I feel like this one person that I'm thinking in my mind is a bit of a dork, I would not want him to pull me over for a speeding ticket where he has the power and the authority as a police officer. Like, I would, you know, so there's, you know, I've seen the bad and the good, right? And, you know, it's, it's just like more than just seeing a very binary thing and just being so tribalistic about this. It's like once you start to understand and once you start to see, because I have criticism for people who totally shit on police as well. You know, I have criticism for that as well. But the fact that, like, they had a phenomenal performance. And the thing is, I really feel like, you know, by the interview that Dre had and the performance itself, that he really had the intention to show that rappers can, you know, carry themselves professionally on stage and open doors for other hip hop acts. And I think they did a very fucking good job of that. And, you know, there was no fucking crazy lyrics. You know, he said once, still not in love with the police. That was in the Still Dre song. But, like, you know, it wasn't like some fucking chant to go against police officers. It's, you know, Eminem kneeled, but it's not like afterwards he went on a fucking hour-long speech about how to, you know, how we need to address climate change and equity and shit like that. Like, he took a knee in respect. It's something that I didn't even really notice. But anyway, let's go in here. Let's go more into this video. Like, nothing is more suspect than saying we need good old-fashioned patriotic artists, like country music singers. So this guy, remember, this guy's original tweet was to how cancel culture is horrible. And then he posted another tweet how ABC should fire Whoopi Goldberg. Like, the hypocrisy. All right. He's got a picture of Eminem. Eminem was arrested for pistol whipping a bystander outside a nightclub in Michigan. He is not a role model who should be given a platform at the Super Bowl. The NFL owes the parents apology. This was back in it was back in 2000 or 2001. Like, since then, he got off drugs, you know, hasn't gotten into violent altercations since. He probably sits in his basement and is a good dad to his daughters, adopts his, you know, some daughters. And, you know, it's just like, it's just wild. It's like, it's even worse than the Joe Rogan thing, because at least the Joe Rogan thing was in 2010. This shit is like 20 years ago that he's pointing out. It's just like wild. Okay, so here's his during the game rants. He tweets out, does the state of emergency, oh no, that was for California. It was very hard to enjoy the Super Bowl in between all the woke propaganda, anti-American vitriol. Dr. Dre is much better doctor than is as much of a doctor as Joe Biden. What do Dr. Dre and Fauci have in common? They're both phony doctors who should be in prison! I mean, why? What did Dre do to belong in prison? The Super Bowl halftime show should feature a marching band instead of godless musicians with crude lyrics and criminal records. Who is this guy? Who's calling for marching bands? Anyway, from all the fuckery, I know that was a little bit of fuckery there, but, like, the main takeaway here is, you know, make your values consistent. You know, the whole thing I talked about in the last two episodes, and, you know, like, on the last episode, I said, I don't vibe with Whoopi Goldberg. I don't watch The View. You know, I don't agree with what she says. But at the same time, I'm not going to, like, go after her and be a hypocrite and say that she needs to be canceled. Like, she should have the platform to say whatever the fuck she wants to say, unless the brand of The View personally, without, you know, having to be bullied or pressured, they feel like, you know what, that doesn't vibe with us. You know, that's all. That's all. Who's that other guy? Charlie Kirk. He said something wild. this guy. All right. He said something about sexual anarchy. The NFL is now a league of sexual anarchy. This halftime show should not be allowed on television. It's almost like he was just prepared, because like you had to know that you were going to be outraged about something on the Super Bowl. It's, I feel like he had that tweet prepared. And the weird thing is like, I feel for the artists that they are, you know, I know they push the edge and the limits and stuff. But the show was tame. Like it, I mean, I get, you know, like people, I guess people are complaining about the 50 Cent portion. But it was like, okay, there were women and they weren't like, I've seen women more naked on my Instagram. Like, I don't understand. Like it wasn't that wild. Like maybe you saw their thighs. I don't know. What have these people been doing? Like, how sheltered have they been? I get the fact that you want to be, you know, have like a, you know, you don't want to demoralize society. And the thing is I would understand, because I know like there was that one show where like Cardi B was humping Megan Thee Stallion. If like you had like artists humping each other and doing shit like that, I was like, okay, you might have a point, but I just feel like it was tame, and like actually they balanced out the perfect balance of being authentically them, but also being aware of the environment they were in. I think they really did a fine job at that. And of course there's going to be people mad, but you know, it's just like wild. But the whole thing I want to, kind of the lesson I want to bring home about this is that you can really put yourself in a dark and negative place if you react to headlines. Whether you're that leftist that is mad at Joe Rogan, or whether you're that right conservative hoity-toity kind of person who is angry at hip-hop and Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg and Eminem and all that stuff, like, it's just a very dark place to be. And the reason why I say that is, imagine if you take Joe Rogan out of context and you hear him say the N-word, and then you jump on the train thinking that he is the most vile and racist person. And then you see that so many people listen to him, including me. So many people listen to him. And you buy into the idea or the propaganda or whatever it is that told you that he's this vile, racist person. And you're like, holy shit, this many people were secretly racist and extremist. And, you know, like, what kind of world do I live in? Meanwhile, the people listening to Rogan, a lot of them might be quite moderate, and they're all about, like, you know, live and let live and loving people no matter what race they are and all that stuff. And the whole N-word thing wasn't even defining who Joe Rogan is, because if you listen to 4 hours at a time, you know, you hear who Joe Rogan is, and you realize that fast clip was just a blip of really who he is and what he stands for. And the fast clip was him probably, I think for most part, quoting other people. And he could have chose to do that differently, but it doesn't, you know, if you buy into the story that this is some crazy lunatic white supremacist, apparently according to CNN, that's like the same as January 6th and the insurrection, which according to a lot of blue check marks on Twitter, that it's worse, the January 6th incident is worse than 9/11. Then you start to look at the world at a very dark place when you don't need to be looking at it from a very dark space, when Joe Rogan may be the most cool and authentic people on this planet. One of them. But and then the same thing goes for the show at the Super Bowl. You see these headlines where it's like, okay, Eminem got in trouble back in 2000. He's a fucking criminal. You know, Dr. Dre had an incident back in the 90s, which I don't fully remember because, you know, I got into hip hop in more of the late 90s. You know, Snoop Dogg got in trouble with the law and, you know, da 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 da. Like, you see all that stuff and then you're like, oh my God, the gates of hell is opening in this country and everyone is promoting crime and violence and that's all they like and we're going to live in total anarchy. And it's like, but if you actually listen to an album or listen to an interview, you would find people who lived the American dream and in most cases promoted the American dream. And to be honest, I might not be on this podcast today if that didn't lead me down the path, you know? Hip hop made me feel like it was cool to be a business owner. It made a lot of other people feel like it's cool to be a business owner. And that's what people aren't seeing. They only see the tip of the iceberg. They're not seeing the whole story. And it kind of reminds me of that classic video of Cam'ron being interviewed by Bill O'Reilly, and they were just like, Cam'ron and Dame Dash were just having a good time. I think it was kind of a meme on the internet later. It's like, you mad. Like, that's where it came from. If you ever heard someone be like, you mad. But anyway, Dame Dash made a good point because, like, it was the common conversation that Bill O'Reilly was trying to say. And he was saying something like that it was promoting violence and influencing people in a bad way and things of that nature. And notice how that sounds familiar to, like, Joe Rogan is influencing people the bad way with misinformation and wrong think and all that. Like, you know, it's all like not allowing the listener to have personal responsibility to what they listen to. And something Dame Dash brought up is like, well, if you actually pay attention to Cam'ron, he would be teaching you how to be a business owner and saying that you can make something out of nothing and all this stuff. And, you know, I think the same thing goes here. You know, you can look at the bad stuff. You can look at the blemishes and you can judge people who came from harsh environments and had to hustle their way out or find a way. And they made it out and they made their life better and they became better people. Over the years, every person on that stage has evolved in their lives in incredible ways that a lot of people don't evolve, right? So it's like, you know, you can choose to focus on the negative that they tell you to point out when you don't see the positive, and then you put yourself in a very dark place thinking that masses amount of people are being hypnotized by these evil artists, when actually, in my opinion, and, you know, I'm not trying to say that there was no symbolism or be ignorant to the fact, but at first glance, the performance felt, you know, fun and light, and it felt like quality music that I haven't seen at a Super Bowl halftime show in a while, and it felt authentic. So, you know, maybe we'll see some videos breaking it down and see if there's any symbols or rituals in within that. But it felt like just a real authentic thing to me. So anyway, I want to end it with Adrian Norman did a Twitter thread that I thought was wonderful. And if only people read it, if only the people criticizing would read it. But here's my point. He says, thread, Dre donated $70 million for a new degree program at USC that blends business, marketing, product development, and design. 50 Cent has a foundation that does food and clothing drives along with community work. He also does life-saving water projects in Africa. Nipsey Hussle, rest in peace Nipsey Hussle, by the way. Nipsey Hussle spent millions on a property to create black-owned businesses and jobs. He was looking to expand these projects nationwide. He invested in Vector 90, which trains black youth in STEM fields, as well as in 59th Street Elementary School in South LA. Young Dolph was the epitome of pull yourself up by the bootstraps, owning more than 100 properties in Memphis. He bought a home for his kids each year for their birthdays and encouraged other rappers to talk about investments and getting out of the street life. Chance the Rapper is a huge proponent of education and donated $1 million to Chicago Public Schools Foundation. He also has a youth empowerment charity that raised $2.2 million for 20 neighborhood schools. Diddy donated millions of dollars to New York City schools and children suffering from HIV and AIDS. He's also on the board that provides scholarships and mentoring to inner city kids. Will.i.am provides scholarships, financial literacy courses, and mortgage assistance to low-income families. Trey does food drives and winter coat giveaways for the homeless and underprivileged. Young Jeezy put up $1 million to teach people how to get into real estate. And I'm sure that list can go on. You know, like all the positivity these people bring. And it kind of, and actually, I got to say, this podcast, you know, it's a full podcast. So I am going to return with my thoughts. I know I've been teasing it for the past like the past episode and maybe on some posts. But I will be coming back to talk about the anti-coaching and stuff like that. And this is, you know, this is something else leading up to it. It's easy to point out somebody's flaws. It's easy to see the bad they did and pick them apart. It's also protecting your ego when you do that. But you got to look at the whole picture. And a lot of times, people get demonized who've done so much for the world that most humans could only imagine. You know, they can't even fathom of like, you know, and I just thought of this, like, I want to honor Young Dolph too. Rest in peace to Young Dolph. I noticed I said that for Nipsey Hussle, but I was kind of reading and I didn't honor Young Dolph. But yeah, it's like, you know, kind of going into the anti-coaching rhetoric, and I'm going to be fair on that next episode because I want to talk about the ways that people get manipulated and swindled. In honor of the Tinder swindler, I got some things to say about the Tinder swindler as well in the next episode. But also I wanted to talk about the righteousness that comes from people in anti-coaches and things of that nature. And I feel like it's the same with these celebrities. It's like, you know, Dre donated $70 million. How many people are able to do that? And you want to bring up some shit he did in the 90s when he was finding his way? You know, what happened to forgiving? And all this socialist talk, like Dre is the prime example of somebody who embraces free market capitalism. Not only have all those artists on stage embrace capitalism and built their own businesses and expanded, they were literally self-made, like from the fucking bottom, that a lot of people listening to this would never even imagine living in their life. So that's incredible and gets to be celebrated. And hey, you know, it did get messy as they were coming up. They did have to learn to like evolve and you know, just mature in the process. But what if you were born in that same environment? You know, what if you had the same struggles and challenges that they did? But anyway, the main message that I just want to drive home here is life seems so more hopeful and peaceful and happy when you learn the whole fucking story and don't get duped.
And sign up for Brandon's program.
Yeah, and sign up for, and when you sign up for my program. No, but when you don't get duped by fucking headlines and short clip videos, life is, and this, and you can be susceptible to this no matter where you are, you know, what type of beliefs you have and all that stuff, you can fall for this shit. And it's like, take some time to listen to longer form content to the person that has you feeling like life is fucking hopeless. That's all I'm saying. And I too, you know, like, obviously I don't like, I'm not a fan of communism. And I understand that there's like some rich people out there that like just shit on capitalism and things of that nature. But like, come on, like, The show was like, the show had a chance, and in many ways it was, because I'm only talking about a small amount of people who are bitching and complaining, but it was a chance to be unifying, because it wasn't so fucking packed with over the top political shit. It was just music in its rawest form, and legends who have done their thing. And you know what? For me, it just brought me back to a simpler time when it was just listening to some good fucking music and we weren't making everything a fucking political war. And, you know, I guess a little bit I wish people could find that same bit of peace that I did. But I know many of you did. So anyway, that's the episode for today. Stay tuned for the next episode. Hey. Smoke weed every day. No, like, stay tuned for the next episode, because it's I'm going to go deeper into the psychology with the anti-coaches and the coaching stuff. Like, hopefully nothing happens between them where I talk about something else, but I want to get that episode out. So thank you for listening to the Sorry I Offended You podcast. And also, my new program's out. I almost forgot. My new program, Fuck Cancel Culture. I'm going to put that link in the description. It's self-explanatory, but really, if you've been stifling your self-expression because of cancel culture and the fear of people criticizing you, and you've wanted to have people hear your vast amount and your deep opinions and all that stuff, then this is a program for you. Check out the sales page. The sales page is a fun time. It's the direct link in my Instagram right now, and you can find it in the show notes as well. So you can find it everywhere. And if all else fails, just send me a message. And until next time, friends. By the way, one more thing before I leave. I don't know if you see my Instagram, but I had the series called the DoorDash Swindler. And I, you know, it's basically a conversation where I was trolling this person. The person I trolled in that conversation, I ended the conversation, and they're still messaging me like every once in a while, just saying, hey. So if you saw it, you'll know. And if you haven't, check it out. Anyway, have an awesome week. And until next time, I might be doing a podcast, another episode very soon.